There's a word that I want to share that I think is really important. And, you know, and I've read this scripture so many times over the years. But yesterday, in my time alone with the Lord, just wanting to hear him speak to me, not trying to prepare a word, he spoke this to me in a new way that just sort of blew me away, that blows me away. And so we have our sort of personal revival weekend coming up, our Lazarus weekend coming up, and I'm really excited about being able to talk about this and then kind of run with it. If you remember on the cross, and this isn't that word yet, but this is the lead up to it. On the cross, when Jesus said, well, it is finished, or tetelestai is the Greek word. It's interpreted, it is finished. It's one, this is a little technical stuff, but I love this kind of thing, so maybe you will too, because it helps you better understand what they heard when this was said by Jesus. He said that the way it's written is in the perfect tense. And the perfect tense means something that's been completed in the past. It has continual present tense results and impact. And so, like, it's a permanent word that has life every day. And so when Jesus said it's finished, it was said and therefore written. When he said what he said, they wrote it. The Holy Spirit had them write it in the perfect tense so that people would understand that Jesus meant this thing has been completed. Because really, the word tetelestai, though people translate it as it is finished, because one of the things it can represent is when somebody's been in debt and their debt's been paid for, sometimes the one who is the creditor would then post on the doorpost of that person's home who had been in debt, you know, tetelestai, it is finished, paid in full. And our sins certainly were paid in full by what Christ did. But tetelestai means much more than just that. Because much more than just that, and just that's a pretty big deal that he paid for all my sins. But Jesus came to set the sinner free, to crucify the broken, enslaved to sin sinner on the cross. Not just that his sins be paid for, but that the person, the old self, that was a slave to thinking and feeling certain ways, slave to brokenness in their personality, slave to the reign of sin, that person would be crucified, done away with, and a whole new self, a whole new human would emerge in union with Christ in the resurrection. So make no mistake about it, in Revelation 21:5, when Jesus said, I've come to make all things new. I'll make all things new. That's really in his mindset, is that I make all things new. And he came to appropriate or to carry out the only solution to the fall of man, and that is death and resurrection. That which is old, that which was corrupt, that which is enslaved, that which was guilty and controlled by shame and all that stuff, that which was controlled by sin, had to be done away with, crucified. And a whole new humanity, a whole new self had to be raised up. And only could be the new self that God wanted us to be by grafting us into the resurrected life of Christ so that we get to experience the life that he lives. Now, that's sort of a broad description of the gospel. So when Jesus said the word tetelestai from the cross, it's really meaning that was used more in the days of Christ, it meant perfect. What we came to do has been perfected. It meant accomplished, totally accomplished, completed. So let's think of it in that way. So this is a word from Ephesians chapter 4. Now I'm going to read it to you from my Bible, and almost all of my Bibles are a New American Standard, because I love it, because I think it's the most accurate translation word for word most of the time. But sometimes translators try to make a word fit into their theology instead of just letting the word, the scripture, speak when it's written, how it was written in the original language, and let the theology kind of spill out of that. So in this scripture, the New American Standard says, and when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives. Now, every other version that I've read, I think, gets it right. And this time, the New American Standard gets it wrong. Because what Jesus didn't say was, and he led captive a host of captives. They use the word host of captives because that word there kind of carries the idea of a bunch of stuff. Not more than just one, it was more than just one thing. But like the King James Version or the New International Version says, and he led captivity captive. And that word captivity there is like it covers not just one thing, but all captivity. He led captivity captive. That would be the proper translation. And that's really the way I've always heard that. And I didn't even notice the fact until yesterday when I was reading my Bible, and I've been using a New American Standard Bible for almost 50 years, that it was written different. And so I want you to hear what that scripture says. When he ascended on high, which involves both his resurrection and ascension, because the cross was this event that was crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, because he carried us with him, and we're now seated in the heavenly places with him. We're in union with the risen Christ, seated in the heavenly places with him, while our feet are still squarely on the earth. But with Jesus at a cross, what he did, and Jesus is in his, well, let me start this way. Jesus in his humanity, in his incarnation, he clothed himself in our fallenness. He clothed himself in our broken and fallen humanity. He clothed himself in our captivity, though he never sinned. You understand what I'm saying? He clothed himself in your humanity, and yet he never sinned. But it was your fallen, broken humanity, and he took that fallen, broken humanity to the cross and crucified the captive. He carried all of your captivity in his person, as if, as the great physician, he was saying, instead of me giving you a dose of medicine that will make you well from the sickness of being controlled by sin, that sickness, he said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take all the sickness in myself. Isn't it what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? That he, the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf. Wow. He became sin on my behalf, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, the word righteousness means to just be right. I don't mean by be right like you got an attitude and you're just right about it. It means that you're sound. If something you get has parts to it and it's supposed to work and everything works, it's right. So there's something right about that thing. And so sometimes you may say, there's something right about that guy. You're not just saying his attitude. You're saying there's something sound, solid, you know, about that person. And so righteousness is the soundness of God, the wholeness of God, the wholeness of Christ. And so he became sin on my behalf that I might, in my humanity, no longer be broken and held captive, but might be sound. Sound emotionally? Wouldn't you like to be sound emotionally? Well, Jesus is sound emotionally, and he's your life. You're in union with him. Would you like to be sound mentally? Well, Jesus is, you have the mind of Christ, so you are. And we're going to even be fully sound physically one day when we get our new body, which he accomplished for us at the cross. We just haven't received it yet. But you hear the idea that he became sin, our unsoundness, that we might become his soundness, the soundness of God in the person of Christ. So what did Jesus do? He clothed himself in our captivity. And at the cross, the captive person, the captive to sin, the sin of fear. How about the sin of complaining? How about the sin of getting aggravated, irritated, frustrated? The sin of impatience, the sin of greed, the sin of pride, the sin of on and on and on. The sin of complaining. That's a sin, right? Jesus never complains. He's my life. And he came to set me free from complaining, the sin of worrying, the sin of all those things. He came, the sin of addictions, whatever that might be, you know, whether it's sexual addiction or chemical addiction or alcohol addiction. He took all that on himself. He became that. He became that alcoholic you. He became that worried, controlled by worry you, the complaining you, the critical you, the backbiting you. He became all that at the cross and crucified that person. And therefore, he clothed himself in your captivity and then took that captivity captive. It no longer has the right to control you and me. He took your captivity captive. It says in Romans 6, we're now a slave to righteousness. You see, Jesus said that he's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth because you're in union with him. Jesus says he's your life. Jesus is the truth about you and your situation. Jesus is the truth about that captivity that you've lived with all your life, you struggle with. I've heard people say, well, I've just been this way all my life. This is the way I do. I'm a complainer. I've always been that, or a worrier, or this, struggle with this, lust, or whatever it might be. But that's not true. Jesus is the truth. And that's not the truth about you. Jesus is the truth about you. I didn't say you were Jesus. You're in union with him, and he's your life, and therefore he's the truth about you. And it's that truth that sets you free. When you come to understand this, these feelings, these emotions, this stuff that keeps you captive, these strong desires, whatever they might be, that keeps you captive, that you're no longer that captive. Jesus took captivity itself captive so that you and I now can walk in freedom. The freedom of experiencing Jesus Christ himself and his rightness, his holiness, his righteousness being lived out through us. Because you see, Jesus is the way. There's a way of life. There's a way of life that Jesus lives. And Jesus is that way of life. He's the way. He's the truth about everything. And he's the life that God created us to experience and enjoy. So one of the things, my prayer, is that you would get it. You would understand that whatever things you've been struggling with, and you keep praying, oh God, help me, I'm better, you know, I've made progress. He came to do more than give you progress. He came and took captivity, your captivity, captive, so that no longer has control over you, so that you can be free. He says that he's called us to be into freedom, the glorious freedom. It was for freedom's sake, it says in Galatians chapter 4, that he set you free. Uses the word free indeed, that you might be free indeed. I don't know what all that means, but it means the freedom that Jesus experiences, his freedom from the reign of sin. The reign of sin has no reign over him. And that's the one you're yoked to. That's the one you're one with. That where he is in life, how he is in life, there you may be also, it says. So if you've been held captive and you still think you ought to fight your way, you know, what you have to do is believe. And you may have to stand in faith as the enemy attacks. You know, he will. He'll challenge. But if you'll stand on the truth in childlike faith, trusting that Christ is your freedom in whatever that place may be that you're struggling with, that he's taken your captivity captive. No matter how many times you failed, Jesus is the truth, not your experience. If you'll stand in faith, in the evil day it talks about in Ephesians, sometimes there are evil days. Stand in those evil days, which really comes at you. He took that captivity captive. I no longer have to live as a captive. I can live as a free person in Christ. I can live in his freedom. Amen? His freedom to not complain. His freedom to not gripe. His freedom to not be frustrated with people. His freedom to not get offended, because he never does those things. His freedom to not whatever. That's our word for the day. And so, it's good to be with you again. There's a better system of doing this, but it's been so long since I've done it. I don't know how to make it work better, so maybe we'll get it to work better. But I trust that it was clear enough, and I trust that the sound was good enough. Sometimes that's the biggest challenge. But more importantly, that you were able to hear enough that you can begin to walk in the freedom that Jesus has already perfectly accomplished for you. For he has taken captivity itself captive so it can no longer harm you and control you. Amen? Amen. Love you so much.